Farms in Wisconsin are in the news a lot right now. From dairy farmers that are losing their farms, crop farmers who can't get into the field because of the water, or farmers who are losing market shares because of trade wars, water quality issues, and more. Today we're going to talk about farm regulating in Wisconsin. Hello, and welcome to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther, president of Wheeler Reports. And today, I'm joined by Tressie Camp, the staff attorney for Midwest Environmental Advocates.
Hello, Tressie.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
And Chris Clayton, a livestock siting program manager at the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Gwen. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. Chris, I'm going to start with you. What is livestock siting?
Yeah, livestock siting is a legal framework that really determines how local governments can regulate livestock facilities. So over time, as livestock facilities have gotten larger, local governments have shown an interest in regulating livestock facilities to address any number of issues. Typically, in the past, local governments sought to control the location of a farm, size of a farm, or even apply various standards to new and expanding livestock facilities. But livestock siting really came into being because of the law, which was passed in 2004, and the administrative rules, which went into effect in 2006. Together, they affect local control of livestock facilities really in two main ways. The first way is through zoning. Local governments cannot restrict the size of or keep of livestock facilities from locating inside of an agricultural zoning district, the primary agricultural zoning district. But they are allowed to actually restrict the size of livestock facilities in other agricultural zoning districts if their ordinance says that it's necessary for protecting public health and safety. The second main thing that it does is that it says that if a local government chooses to issue permits to livestock facilities, then they have to apply the uniform process and standards that are found in the state's livestock siting rule. These standards address a couple of things: location of various structures through setbacks, such as manure storage structures. It addresses odor management, and it addresses water quality.
I recently did a story about the new report that came out from the Legislative Reference Bureau titled The Right to Farm Laws in Wisconsin. And it talked about how all 50 states regulate right to farm laws and have they started coming into effect in the 1970s when we started having urban sprawl and it was allowing farmers to maintain and protect their farms. Can you talk about how some of these laws came into effect and why states were implementing these, Tressie?
Yeah, definitely. So these are now fairly ubiquitous laws, as you just noted. Wisconsin's first right to farm law went on the books in 1982. So these laws went into place before the livestock facility siting law. And the report does a great job explaining the main reason, whether in Wisconsin or in other states, for these right-to-farm laws, for the reason they went into existence. Basically, as agricultural and residential land uses started to merge, these laws were a way to protect against private nuisance lawsuits. So a lot of us are familiar with nuisance lawsuits. You're upset at your neighbor, whether or not they're an industry or an individual. If you're the right to use and enjoy your property is being impacted, one common legal tool is a nuisance lawsuit. The right to farm law doesn't totally take away the right to a nuisance lawsuit, but it makes it a little bit more tricky. And one overarching goal, in addition to addressing urban sprawl, was to try to give some predictability to farmers. So instead of regulating and addressing agricultural issues through piecemeal lawsuits, the idea behind the right to farm laws was that either at the local or the state level, there would be regulation to try to get at these issues, that regulation was a better tool than these piecemeal lawsuits. And that, you know, was the goal of the lawsuits, and we'll talk a little bit more. What happened, of course, is one alternative to these private nuisance lawsuits was local regulation, and that local regulation, again, was not taken away, but was impacted by the livestock facility siting law that went on the books in the early 2000s.
So it sounds like between both of you, we started with right to farm laws in the 1970s to kind of give some form of control and regulations to both homeowners and farm owners, and protect the farmers and their ability to farm, but protect the homeowners. And we started with these right to farm laws in the 80s. Then as things started changing, then we kind of updated those laws through the livestock siting permitting process and making sure that locals had some control in terms of where can farms be, where are we zoning, where are we kind of regulating these things. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about local government controls on livestock siting.
The League of Wisconsin Municipalities advocates for all of Wisconsin's 602 cities, large and small, rural and urban, speaking up for local democracy and common sense citizen-led government. Learn more at lwm-info.org.
Welcome back to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and I'm joined today by Chris Clayton, a livestock siting specialist at the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and by Tressie Camp, the staff attorney for Midwest Environmental Advocates. We see that the laws were being passed in the late 70s and 80s that protected farmers and their right to farm, but it's significant to note that there are limits on those laws, specifically when agricultural practices threaten public health and safety. Chris, who determines what is a threat to public health and safety?
Well, according to the state's right to farm law, it's the courts that determine when an agricultural use or practice is a threat to public health and safety.
How do we define that? I mean, Tressie, as an attorney, how do you define what is, I mean, if you are going to court or you're looking at the court opinions, what defines that?
So far, the courts haven't defined that. There is one case, and I'll provide the hyperlink for your listeners, the Larson Acres or the Town of Magnolia case that explained the confines of the livestock facility siting law a little bit. There's not been that standard of public health and safety that hasn't been tested legally. So it's kind of on a case by case basis, local governments working in tandem with DATCAP to try to figure out what they can do to prevent getting to that standard or getting to that place where there is a question about public health or safety impact. So it's not a legal standard that's very well defined in our state yet.
Chris, if I'm thinking about public health and public safety, I guess I think air pollution or air quality issues, water pollution, water quality issues, possibly land and agricultural erosion, which would result in flooding and things like that. Are those some of the things that we're talking about with livestock siting and with some of the issues that are coming about?
I think so. Public health and safety is a pretty broad term, but the way it's typically applied by local governments in the context of livestock siting typically gravitates towards water quality protections, setbacks from larger livestock facilities.
And explain that. What is a setback then?
Well, it's a traditional zoning tool. So where a farm is issued a permit through a zoning ordinance, typically, there would be various conditions that come with that. And the siting law is livestock siting, and the permits that are issued under that are very specific about what sort of setbacks can be applied and to what structures. So, for instance, when it comes to manure storage structures, the maximum setback from that structure to the property line of the facility needs to be 350 feet. If the local government feels, according to public health and safety, it should be larger, they have the ability to do that, but they need to write it into their ordinance and they need to justify it based on scientifically defensible findings of fact that cite public health and safety reasons.
I guess I'm trying to help people understand. If I am a farm and I want to expand or I want to do additional things on my farm, whether it's increase my cattle herd, increase my farm size, I have to go through a zoning process. I have to apply for permits. Is all of that open to the public? And how do people in their communities find out that this is going on?
Well, I'll let Chris speak to the livestock facility siting law process. I'll note at, one one way that there is guaranteed public involvement and public notice and comment opportunities is for the state's larger farms. So for concentrated animal feeding operations, and those operations need to comply with the livestock facility siting law. They also need to comply with other state regulations that are often more stringent, and they need to get water pollution permits from the Department of Natural Resources. That process has a built-in public notice and comment period.
What do you, Chris, do they have it at the local level as well?
Yeah, well, first of all, not all local governments actually have the authority to issue permits through livestock siting. They need to write it into their ordinance. Many local governments have chosen not to participate in this. But for those that do, there is the opportunity for the public to weigh in. But depending on how they weigh in exactly, In the end, the process is set up so that as long as the information in the farmer's application is complete, credible, consistent, meets the standards that are included in the livestock siting rule, the permit needs to be granted.
All right. DATCAP on their website has a document titled Understanding Local and State Regulations for New and Expanding Livestock Facilities. Can you just give us a short rundown of what that document does, Chris?
Yeah, that document really speaks directly to farmers. It gives an overview of state and local regulations that might apply to livestock facilities. So Tressie already mentioned the DNR's permits for concentrated animal feeding operations. There's livestock facility siting. Apart from that, there's many other examples of regulations that may apply to livestock operations. Regulations such as floodplain and shoreline zoning ordinances, which tend to restrict development near lakes, rivers, and floodplains, state and local regulations that set vehicle weight limits for different roads, county manure storage ordinances, high-capacity well permits, and the state's runoff management rules. This is all to say that there are several different regulations that, depending on the type, the size of the farm, how they manage manure, and how they're located in relation to environmentally sensitive areas, they may need different types of permits.
Tressie, one of the things that I seem to gather as I was doing more research for this podcast are there are the right to farm laws, there are the regulations on livestock siting, and then there's the personal property owners or the local communities that have land. And it seems like some of these issues are in conflict with one another, or at least they create conflict between community members and farmers and government. How are some of these issues coming out in the news, or what are we seeing?
I think we are seeing more media around that conflict. Shortly after the livestock facility siting law was enacted, and another website I'd refer people to are the DNR's CAFO and the WPD's permitting statistics website. DNR has a good chart that shows you when the CAFO industry in Wisconsin really began, and you'll see kind of a, I don't know if exponential is the mathematically correct term for the way the graph looks, but a pretty rapid increase in the number of the state's largest farms. And as that happens, again, back to the history of the reason for the right to farm law. As that happens and we have more animals locating in the rural parts of our state, more people going into suburban areas, you are going to get more conflict. But I think it's really important to note that the conflict isn't necessarily between farmers versus non-farmers. I think that's a way to kind of explain the debate that sets up both sides for conflict and for not getting the most of what they want out of the situation. It's important to note that these situations are often between farmers and other farmers. We have different types of farms throughout our state. We have drastically different farm sizes throughout the state. And very often, the state's largest farms and their interests may conflict with the smaller farmers. So I think it does all farmers justice to make sure that we talk about these conflicts, in a way that shows that farmers of all sizes have interests that they want to protect.
Interesting. I find that farmers versus farmers idea very interesting. One major issue in Wisconsin right now is water quality. It's the year of clean water. We've done several podcasts on water quality issues. What are some of the things you're seeing locally as livestock siting, Chris, with water quality issues?
Right now, many local governments are clearly looking for better ways to protect groundwater quality. Several counties have even formed study groups to learn about different local regulations, to weigh the options that are available to them. When counties have looked at livestock siting in particular, they've always wanted to understand what all of us have learned from 13 years of local implementation and how livestock siting limits local control. They want to know what opportunities actually exist. Many of the discussions that I've had with committees and studying groups at the county level have centered on adopting more stringent local standards in order to protect water quality.
Break that down for us. More stringent water standards. You're saying that the state has one level and the local governments don't think that those levels are strong enough to protect health and safety, so they're implementing more strict rules than what the state has.
Right. So a lot of local committees have ideas about what types of regulations they would like to see go in place. But again, if they're issuing permits through livestock siting, they're not allowed to go above and beyond the standards that are on the books.
Okay.
Unless, of course, they include a standard in their ordinance that is justified by public health and safety. And given what Tressie had said previously, just what is public
health
and
safety,
at least according to the courts, there's some risk involved there. And to be frank, a lot of counties haven't felt that they've wanted to stick their necks out on that.
All right. Well, stay tuned. There's more to come.
The Wisconsin Counties Association represents Wisconsin's 72 counties at both the state and federal level. Learn more about how counties impact your community at wicounties.org.
You're listening to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and today's guests are Tressie Camp, the staff attorney for Midwest Environmental Advocates, and Chris Clayton, a livestock siting program manager at the Department of Agricultural Trade and Consumer Protection. So, Tressie, you originally reached out to me on this podcast idea. Why did you reach out, and what are some of the things that you are addressing right now?
So I reached out. One thing that my organization does, Midwest Environmental Advocates, we're a nonprofit, public interest environmental law firm. And as a part of that mission, we operate what's called a hotline or an intake line, and we get questions and concerns from citizens on a range of environmental issues. And we track those calls and emails that we get about different issues. And we are definitely seeing an uptick since about 2014, 2015, in the number of not just citizens, but local government officials who have questions. They're really trying to get at what you were just chatting about with Chris. They have questions about what they can and cannot do when they're approached by constituents, whether it's in a town or a county, to figure out how they can regulate, if at all, a farm or farms in certain communities that might be causing conflict. And I... you know, we do hear in the media more and more discussion about water quality issues. Regardless of your opinion, agriculture is a part of that picture. And there's, a number of different potential solutions. And I think there's still a lot of questions, both for local governments, for the regulated industries, and for impacted citizens. A lot of unresolved questions about what local governments can do or cannot do. So I really enjoy think it's part of my job to get out there and help answer questions outside of the confines of a lawsuit. That it's really the solution is better if it comes from public dialogue and decision making that way, instead of testing theories in a court or in a case that might take years and years to figure out.
Right. I've asked you both quite a few questions, but you two are the experts in this area and know far more than I do. So what are your final thoughts, or what is it that I might be missing about the bigger picture here?
Well, I can go first. One reason I wanted to make sure that this podcast happens is that we do hear a lot of more and more local government officials being told that they can't do anything when it comes to regulating livestock facility operations. And I know they're not hearing that from DATCAP. Both DATCAP and DNR employees get out there, understand, and explain the regulations, but there's still that belief or that discourse out there. We unfortunately see more and more what we'll call threat letters being sent to local government saying, if you do anything, you're going to get sued. And the answer to all of this is probably somewhere in the middle. You can't do everything as a local government. You don't have to do nothing. It may not be simple or easy, but it is possible. And there are resources out there, whether it's StatCap, whether it's groups like Wisconsin Farmers Union, so a group that advocates for farmers and is advocating more and more for local control. There are definitely resources out there if you're listening in and you're an impacted resident or a local official, resources to help get these questions answered.
Awesome. Chris, what would you say from the StatCap perspective?
Well, one of the things that we constantly see with livestock siting is that there's a general confusion out there about what it is, what it means, how it gets applied. Believe it or not, this even comes in many times from local governments and from counties and towns where they do have livestock siting on the books, where they do actually issue permits. It's complicated. It's not fully easy to grasp and to understand just, for instance, how livestock siting relates to the other regulations that we were talking about before. DNR's issuance of permits to CAFOs for water quality water pollutant discharge. Other local regulations as well, county manure storage ordinances. So there's a lot of different regulations. They play together in funny ways sometimes, but we try to do our best at the department when people call, and we get calls from farmers, from consultants, from local governments, from a lot of concerned citizens with a lot of questions about livestock siting, and we always look forward to trying to do our best to create an understanding of just what livestock siting is.
If you're a county official or a municipality official or a town official, and this is something you're hearing from your constituents, and you may or may not have some policies in place, where do you recommend that they start? How do they start gathering information? How do they start looking at what their options are? Do they contact the StatCap? Will you walk them through what they are allowed to do, not allowed to do? Do you have an information packet for them? How does that work?
Yes, we do. We have a lot of resources on our website. So if you go to the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection website and search for livestock siting in the search bar, you'll find many resources, lots of fact sheets that should answer a lot of basic questions. The other thing I would say, too, if I'm called by a local government official that's looking to either adopt livestock siting or has some serious questions about implementing livestock siting at the local level, is that I would put them in contact with certain folks out there that do a lot of this work at the local level, certain county officials and others that have a lot of experience with livestock siting, to get their take on exactly the opportunities and challenges surrounding livestock siting.
So for municipalities, they could definitely contact the League of Wisconsin Municipality offices, and they can gather information. They're probably one of the best places. And the Counties Association as well has a lot of information for county officials, but they should be definitely asking questions. Trustee, what would be your recommendation for groups that are, or for local government officials who are starting to look at these issues?
I think my advice is really echoes what Chris already said. Both StatCap staff, they're also the employees at DNR that locals may be less familiar with are the DNR non-point staff who regulate farms that are not CAFOs or help serve those farms as well. There are groups, I already mentioned Farmers Union. There's a statewide group, the Land and Water Conservation Association, that works with county cons around the state and can help you understand if Chris isn't available, the different county conservation employees who have gone through this process and had these questions answered. And MEA, and I know StatCap tries to do this as well, we track the local governments that have decided to act or maybe have started to go down that road and decided not to for one reason or another. So getting input both on the legal but also on the kind of practical questions and hurdles, I think that's you can really find that resource through other town and county officials who have learned about the livestock facility siting law and other laws and rules that might come into play.
Do either of you know off the top of your head, and I probably should have warned you this, how many local units of government, whether county or municipality or town, have their own rules above and beyond the state?
Above and beyond the state's rules? That's sort of a tricky question. We've been able to track some. We are aware of many local governments that have written into their ordinances more stringent local standards. They tend to be towns rather than counties who have done that. I'm not aware, though, of many that have actually done it and applied it in the form of a permit, though.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the end of today's podcast. Thank you both so much for coming. Please make sure to go to thewheelerreport.com and check out the podcast details. I want to thank our partners in community media, Rice Lake Radio 105.5 FM, Wapaka Radio 96.3 FM, Sun Prairie Radio 103.5 FM, and Oshkosh Radio 101.9 FM. Thank you to the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and Wisconsin Counties Association for working with me on this podcast, and thank you to Jackie Johnson for doing all of our sound editing.